Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We've got the hats. We've got the merger happening. But before we do that, I need to make a point that Taharka Ice Cream has been sponsoring Baltimore Positive all summer and now into the winter on these hot days. I ran out of pistachio. I then did not reorder the pistachio. I'll have you know there are two boxes of it right now. Well, 1.5 pints left. I've eaten about a half of it. Don Moe has been working on his out in Catonsville. We will work on some shrimp and grits as well as some chicken and waffles at some point very, very soon over at State Fair. I caught up with Damie Hahn this week from Fadley's. They're moving and grooving over in Catonsville as well. And you can still order those crab cakes online. You can come down to Lexington Market now and grab them as I'm doing this week. And let's not forget Jeff Moeller, who has caught Orioles fever. You can find him out at Moeller and Gary Realty. Also did a great segment with him last month at WNST.net in our buyatoyota.com audio vault. Don, I could ramble on and on and on about the president and about elections and about what's happening in November. But instead of rambling on and on, you and I have created Baltimore Positive to be informative and to be helpful, especially at this particular time and what I consider to be an American crisis. So I'll allow you to take the floor here because this is really your week. And I think a lot of it stems from your disappointment back in June as to how the American election process is being handled right now in our country.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all of that, Nestor. And our special guest today, the director of the Board of Elections in Baltimore County, Katie Brown. Katie's been at it for 33 years. Katie, we've been through a few elections together, have we not?
Yes, we have. Yep.
Well, Katie, let's just jump in. First of all, thanks for all that you are doing. And as Nestor said, we've been on this voting thing for months now. And just recently, it appears we've gotten some clarity from the governor, fresh off the news, and it appears that the governor has acquiesced and is going to allow those of you running elections in the state to consolidate statewide down to 360 voting sites instead of the typical 1,600. Let's just start, Katie, with what all of this means. What we're trying to do is find out what this means for voting in the state of Maryland. So you're right there on the front lines. Walk us through it. Give us the four dummies version.
I hope I can do that. So what this means and how I understand it today, that's today. I don't know what might happen tomorrow when the state board gets back together and meets again. But how I understand it today is that we will have early voting. And in Baltimore County, that will be at 11 of our at our 11 early voting sites from October 29th through Monday, November the 2nd. And then on Tuesday, November the 3rd, there will be voting happening not only at those 11 early voting sites, but also at high schools throughout the county. Now, we need to really look at these high schools and make sure that they're all suitable to have them be an election day site. We're now going to call them vote centers. They're not going to be consolidated because if we consolidate them, then people have to go to certain places. But when we make them vote centers as an early voting site is, anybody can go anywhere to vote in Baltimore County.
Hey, Katie, let's stop.
Now, you have to be a Baltimore County resident to vote there, though, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
Great yes. Question,
Nestor. Just like in early voting, you have to be a Baltimore County resident to vote at a Baltimore County early voting site. Not that we would turn anybody else away. If someone from Harford County, say, came to a Baltimore County site to vote, they would vote a provisional ballot. So we would never turn anyone away, but we always want you to go to your correct site so that you vote your correct ballot.
So Katie, I'm trying to follow, and we're going to be speaking with state folks later as well. We're going to speak with former Secretary of State John Willis. We really are trying to do a deep dive here at Baltimore Positive into voting in the state of Maryland and across the nation. So let's go back and be very specific on the Baltimore County situation. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I wasn't familiar with that you just shared is that the 11 early voting sites will remain open on November 3rd.
Correct. That's how I read the proposal to the governor.
And then in addition to that, you will open up, I think there are 24 high schools. I have to double check, but roughly 24 high schools. You would then open them up as voting centers, meaning that Baltimore County would have 35 places to vote on November the 3rd, as opposed to typically, I think, 236, Katie?
We have 236 precincts. Right. But when you think about some of them are school and cafeteria situations, so we narrowed down, it's probably about 180 some actual facility sites.
See, it's interesting for me because I'm 52 and I've only really voted two places in my entire life, right? Like I lived in Baltimore County, the home I grew up in at Colgate Elementary, and the whole building's gone now, right? So
well, it's a new one now.
I'm very aware. Every time
He's very happy.
You know, I mean, it was sad to see the old girl go, but we went through this at Dundalk High as well, but we always voted at elementary schools, right? So like I would say that this high school thing, it's all new, right? Because the 236 you're talking about, I know there were some at ease centers and different things like that, Don, but primarily voting has been in Baltimore County an elementary school thing. Is that correct?
No, elementary, middle, and high. We use quite a few of the high schools.
See, yes. I would not know that. I just wouldn't know how to vote in other places because I didn't live there, right? So to know community to community, because I'm thinking if you live in Hereford or if you live in some place, you can't just drive, you walk up the road like you could where I was. For this, though, the length of this and how many days it's out and how many ways there are to vote, as a citizen and just, you know, the Joe citizen on the street, I just care that everybody will have a chance to vote, that it won't be what we saw in Wisconsin a couple of months ago where people who wanted to vote could not vote. Don, from where you are from a leadership position in doing this, give me both sides of this, because opening too many, not enough, going early, going late. The whole goal here is just to make it so that you don't have to take the day off to vote, literally, right? We don't do that in America. We probably
That's true, and I want Katie to weigh in. Katie, and I know those of you at the local boards fought the good fight and lost the debate with the governor, which was to try to avoid this double mailing that we're about to embark upon. Now, and what I mean by that, and I'm going to have you clarify it for our listeners as well, is that you all would have preferred to pursue the model that we used in April and in June, which is you send us a ballot. I get a ballot. Nestor gets a ballot. We all got it.
And I've done it twice now, right? Or three times with the Kwaisi.
Correct.
Right. We had several of them. Yeah. Right.
We did it three times. It appeared to work very, very well. And I realize that there were some hiccups, and we'll get into those in more detail with the state, because most of those hiccups were not in Baltimore County. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
But I do want, so now let's talk about what you have to do, because it looks to me like starting August the 24th and then by August, no later than the 28th, you will now mail everyone in Baltimore County an application for an absentee ballot. First of all, am I accurate?
It won't come directly from us. It's coming from the vendor that the state chose.
Okay.
So Baltimore County will not be sending that out. The state's going to send that application out to everyone.
So to roughly the 4 million voters in the state will get these from the state of Maryland. Now, so they're the ones then that will have to process that. And I've gone, I don't know about you, Nestor. I'm encouraging everybody, Katie.
I have not done this yet, so scold me.
All right, maybe you can do the public service announcement. People really shouldn't wait, right? I mean, they should go on the Board of Elections website now and request an absentee ballot now. Is that right?
They can do that now, yes. They can either wait for the mailing or do it now. I want everybody to do that as much as they can. Get it in early. If you're worried about going to the polling place, we want everybody to vote by mail. And yes, you can go out to the state board's website onto their own online voter services and request that absentee ballot application, or request to vote by, I shouldn't say absentee anymore, vote by mail ballot online on their online voter services. Yeah, or they can call us and we can send out the application. But applications are coming to everybody, and that's the way we want you to go. We want everybody to stay safe during this pandemic and vote by mail.
You've been doing this a long time, and I guess you've seen this change. And, you know, look, I was raised by much older parents, right? And they had – we went to the same place to vote in 1976, then we went in 78, then we went in 80, then we went, you know, just on and on and on. And my family always voted. And as I said, I've had two sort of ways I've ever voted. I'm sure during your time you've seen laws, administration, state houses, federal, you know, all of it change to some degree. This particular time and the challenges we have right now with the pandemic, can you just run us through the challenges of 236 precincts? Because we hear about so many precincts, but I know at my precinct, and I'm speaking again at Colgate Elementary, and even in the city, since I've moved to the city where my precinct's literally 50 paces, it's even closer to where I live than it was where my mom lived, which was a block away. So ease of vote for me as a citizen has never felt, I mean, my mom was born in 1919 before she was allowed to vote, right? So voting for me has just been like turning on water. I go, I vote, my name's there. I've only changed addresses twice, two or three times in my life. So it's been easy for me. But when I vote, the people that were there, the election judges, were like 70 years old 25 years ago. Like literally, it was always older people. I would think that they're the most compromised people throughout all of this, that you don't want at polling stations hanging out in November. Speak to why this has been a little bit more challenging and even more dangerous for older folks in getting judges and all of the things that every precinct, not just Baltimore County, but everywhere in the country has to do in order to make an election work.
Right. And just like you said, a good percentage of our election workers are older and in that compromised situation. And, you know, if we opened all 230 precincts, we would need over 4,000 judges.
Wow.
Right now we have maybe 2,200 on the books that are willing to work. And that's all contingent on how things are come October and November. You know, if that curve starts going up again, we're going to lose some of those 2,200. So now with opening just the 11 and the 24 or 30 or so election day precincts, we won't need as many judges. Hopefully we can pull from what we have on board now to work those 6 days of early voting and election day. Because we want to keep it consistent. We want to keep those same people at those locations, because once they start, they know what to do, and, you know, you get better every day.
Well, the people who vote, like Don and I, we sort of figured out, we vote, and we would not vote. I guess what I'm trying to do today for anybody that's out there, let's say I know a guy named Peter. Let's just pretend there's a guy named Peter who's never voted in his life, and he might be 30 years old, and he's just angry, fed up, wants to participate for the very first time. Didn't go to Colgate and vote, and, you know, like I have. Right. What can a human being do here in the middle of August who says, I want to vote for the first time, or I haven't voted in a long time, and I don't even know if they have my name, and I haven't gotten a piece of mail? If you're just sort of lost in the shuffle, as I'm assuming, what, Don, what's the number? 50% of us don't vote? I mean, in the whole country, right? Like ever, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Correct, right, Katie? I mean, yeah. In June, statewide, I think it was 43% or so voted. Actually, the city led the parade in June, which was the first time that had happened in 40 years.
The ballot came to my mailbox.
They actually had 48%. But Nestor's question is a good one, Katie, because you're the expert. A young man, 30 years old, never voted. He's in his car right now. He says, you know what? I'm going to vote this time. What does he have to do to make sure that when he shows up on election day or votes ahead of time, he can do that?
Or she,
right. So that whomever can go to the state board's website again and use that online voter services, and they can put their information in and check to first see, am I registered and is my registration correct? Am I at the right address? Am I the party that I want to be? Is everything in order? And if they can't find themselves, then they can fill out the online voter registration form and get themselves registered and ask for that vote by mail ballot at the same time.
Now, Katie, you know, and again, I want to encourage folks right now, don't wait for the mailing.
Right.
Jump on the website. It did not take my wife and I, it did not take us 10 minutes. We filled out the absentee request. The state board's been very, very efficient. We could track whether or not it was received. We have since received an email from them. So I give them high marks that they've communicated back, an email. We've got it. You'll be getting it in the mail. All of that is good. So that appears to be in place. Now, let's go back to the number of voting places in Baltimore County. Mm-hmm. Katie, to avoid lines, have you given any consideration to using some of the large venues in the county? For example, you have a huge field house at Essex Community College. You have a huge one at Catonsville CCBC. Got a good size one at Dundalk. Have we considered using larger mega sites so that folks would know that they could go in sort of a LeBron James, I guess, right, approach to voting? Have we given any thought to that in Baltimore County?
I have given thought to it. Have I pursued it? No. Is it something that I'm thinking of now? Yeah. I'd like to look into that and see, are they available? What will the charge be? Do I have it in the budget, or are they going to give it to us free of charge? So yeah, that is something to look into.
Well, if Dr. Curtinitis is listening, and she's a loyal listener and she's been with us, we're going to ask the good doctor to consider waiving that fee because of there aren't going to be students on campus for the most part.
Right.
They're going to be online. There's ample parking. You could have literally hundreds of machines at CCBC Essex or CCBC Catonsville. People could get in and out, both in early vote and on election day, because right, the goal is to get as many people as possible to vote, right?
Right.
Katie, he almost sounds like a county executive, doesn't he? I mean, almost. He's got these ideas around here. Don Bowler is with us, Katie Brown from Baltimore County, and we're trying to help educate folks on how to vote, if they've never voted, if you voted, how this could be different. But there is a part of this for all of us that we should say, go online, register, get the ballot in the mail, assuming you have a home and you have a home address. This will be the easiest way for everyone, right? And I think, Don, for you and I, this, as much as the president has railed against this while he's done this for his vote, you and I have now done this. That, yeah, it's fun to go. I miss pulling the levers, for crying out loud, back in the, right, you know, when I was young. But there was something about, I got the ballot, I pulled it out literally under the light where my stove is. I filled in the little bubbles. I pulled the envelope. I sent it. This is where it gets a little tricky. And Katie, I want you to, because Don and I did this, after we mailed, we were on the website, like on speed dial. And you know how Don is. He was checking three times a day, and right, Linda was checking four to see whether the vote got counted. And there was a little bit of it was less than clear. It was lacking clarity is what I will say as to whether, you know, our ballot got there, and with all the Postal Service mess we have going on right now, there was the point where we mailed it in, and I thought, well, I hope they counted it. And how would I know if they counted it? And I want to give you some oxygen to speak to that, because I'm sure Don and I weren't the only ones with that concern back in the spring.
Right. And you have to remember, too, we've gone through this pandemic, and it was high at that time. So when any mail came back, we placed it in quarantine for 24 hours. So there was a 24-hour lag right there on whether it was received or accepted or whatever on your end also. And then once we brought it out of quarantine, we have to put it in our system that we've received it in. And then once it's put in the system as received, then we have to wait for that next canvas day to then open it and tabulate it. And then it gets, once the board approves it, it gets put in as accepted. So there it doesn't happen overnight. There are all these in-between steps that we have to do to get it to that point.
Now, Katie, you know, and you and I chatted off air about this, and I'm beginning to think that I'm just going to be one of those dinosaurs who has to make an adjustment and rethink how we count votes. And that's going to be hard for me, but like everything else, if I have to do it, I will do it. Because back in June, you all were permitted to count the or I guess they were all absentee at that point.
Right.
We'll call them vote by mail or absentee, same
vote
thing.
By mail, right.
Mr. President, they're the same thing. So you all counted them as they came in, so that on election night in Baltimore County, you guys have increasingly done, and I've said this to Nestor, right, you've worked with county government. You've really become one of the models in the state for getting results out in a timely manner.
Yeah.
You indicated to me that without action on the part of the state board or the governor, you're not even going to be allowed to open absentee ballots until 2 days after the election.
Right.
That's a problem for me, which means that on election night, there'll be no results truly from Maryland. Talk a little bit about that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a problem for us too, if that law doesn't change, that we won't be able to open or touch them until the Thursday after the election. So that sounds we're hoping now that
that sounds insane. That doesn't even sound like America. Like what country am I in?
Right.
So we're hoping that they'll put emergency regulations in to allow us a couple weeks before election day to be able to open up whatever we might have and start tabulating them, but just embargo those results until election night, just like we did in the past. And I'm pretty sure that that's what's going to happen. At least my fingers are crossed that that's what will happen.
Well, Katie, give us some insight into that as a director of a local board. I'm pleased to hear you say that you are cautiously optimistic. Are you, as local directors, having those discussions with Linda Lamone and her team at the state, and thus Linda having that discussion with the governor?
Yes. We are in weekly discussions, if not daily discussions, with the state board. I'm constantly sending them stuff, and we do have a weekly discussion with them, amongst all directors, plus us as directors ourselves under our Maryland Association of Election Official group. We get together once or twice a week to talk about what things are happening and how we would like to see them go. And I think you probably saw some of the letters and all that we've gotten together and written, and that the Mayo President David Garris has sent to not only Linda and the board, but to the governor also, on how we would have liked to see the election handled.
Well, speaking of that, Katie, the president aside, and we're not going to ask you to opine into national politics, but anyone who's listening would have me believe that when Don and Linda Moeller and Nestor and Jennifer Aparicio fill their ballots out and mail them, that it's going to be totally corrupt as to how they're counted. And there's a good chance that the four of us never have our votes counted or our votes are switched. Walk people through the security that you all take when ballots come into you and you how do you know it's Don Moeller's ballot?
You signed it, and there's a barcode on it that once we scan that barcode in, it brings your record up, and we compare that what's on that envelope to what's in your record, make sure the name and everything match. We don't do signature comparison. That's not a requirement, but I can't say that we don't look and make sure that that is. We're not required to do that, though, but we do, as I think just as my staff is just conscious enough to do that. We look at that. Once we receive your ballot in, it's kept secured until we process it through. Well, at all times, it's kept secured. But when we process it through our registration system and receive it in there, and then we work together to open them up and to tabulate them. There was a special regulation, emergency reg, that was passed that we didn't need a bipartisan team to open them because we had to do social distancing and keep our gatherings in the room under 10. So we got that to pass that only one person needed to open the ballot. But there was always somebody in there. They still always worked as a team and watched each other. I know not everybody agreed to that, but it still worked well. We still kept an eye on. I always had a lead person in every room as things were going on. So things were kept secured. I mean, it goes through the entire process. There is never not a ballot that comes in this office that's not looked at and counted if eligible or marked as not eligible and put through the system the correct way.
I'll put you on a spot here. We got with 388,000, 553,000 registered voters, correct? I'm looking at Baltimore County, almost 554,000. Don, percentage of people that usually vote, you said 43-50%, somewhere in that range. So we'd say about 275,000 people.
Well, in the presidential, I actually looked before we jumped on this podcast. In 2016 in the state of Maryland, over 70% of the people voted in the presidential election. I was actually shocked at that. And I would say that Baltimore County probably mirrors that, right, Katie?
Right. Yep.
So that'll be about 400,000.
70%. Right.
Okay. So 400,000 people in Baltimore County will vote. And I'm going to ask you this because this is important, really important, I think, more than anything. 400,000 people, time every 2 years they voted. You're 33 years into this. I mean, I don't even want to do the math on that, but I'll do the math at 8 million, 10 million, whatever those number of votes have been that have come through your office. We hear about fraud in voter elections. You've had about 10 million votes come through under your watch or your time there. Mm-hmm. What do you know about voter fraud, at least in Baltimore County?
I can't say that I've seen any of it. We've had some people that have voted maybe at election and returned an absentee ballot, but they voted a provisional ballot on election day that was rejected because of an absentee or mail-in ballot was that. But there have not been any cases that of voter fraud.
Well, I mean, even if it was voter fraud, it'd be one or two. It wouldn't even, there's no stuffing of ballots, right? Like
right,
stealing
no.
someone's ballot and mailing it in from three neighbors, that's fraud. It's terrible. You should go to jail for it. But the notion that somehow you could literally stuff in this country or in this county or in this state, that you could fraudulently move elections in broad numbers is,
yeah.
And to have Americans who believe that, when people like you have done this for three decades and every one of you tells all of us it's impossible, it's that they've never heard of such a thing.
I've not seen it in my 33 years now.
Well, that's a pretty good track record. Katie, before we let you get out of here, because Nestor knows this is sort of my dog after a bone piece. So should the Board of Elections and the governor make the changes that we hope they will make, which was allow you to count these votes as they come in, as you do, you tabulate early vote, I believe, as you
no.
get it. No, you count no, early no. vote that day?
No, early voting we never tabulated the votes from early voting until after 1 p.m. on election day, and they were the first reporting numbers at 8 o'clock.
Okay, so if you were allowed, now blow holes in my theory, and you've done that before. You've never been shy about doing that. If you were to tabulate the early vote starting around 1 o'clock on November the 3rd, and you had been counting the absentees as they came in, so you would be able to upload those.
Right.
And is it reasonable if we were to get the change that we're asking for, mm-hmm. that somewhere around 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, Baltimore County would have a fairly significant portion of its vote ready to be viewed by the public?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yep. So that's what we're hoping. I mean, I could tell you that I haven't looked today, but as of, I got to find my number real quick. How many applications? As of...
Well, you got two from Don and Linda Moeller. I know that.
Well, before I left Friday, already in our system, we had almost 25,000
wow.
mail-in ballot applications.
That's 5% of the electorate already then. That's where
right.
you are. Okay.
Right. So, and I haven't looked today. I don't know what it is today, but I'm sure it's more because my people have been working at during the night. They worked all weekend trying to get caught up with all that have applied already, which I'm very thankful for. Keep applying, vote by mail. Let's keep this pandemic down. We'll be there for you if you need to vote in person, but try to vote by mail as much as you can.
Well, everybody needs to stay diligent on this, and this, you know, because the rules are changing, things are moving. You need to act on it now. It's August. Get on it now to make sure you're not up against this and having to run out to Patapsco High School or someplace to vote November 3rd.
Well, right. Nestor, while we didn't ask Katie to get political, I'll make a political statement, and that is that when the president and others attack the safety and the security of voting across this country, they're really attacking, and I hope folks who are listening get a sense of who Katie Brown is, because there are thousands of Katie Browns across this country who are working from morning to night to make sure that our vote is secure and that this American tradition continues the way the founding fathers dreamed it up. So let's not attack these folks at the Board of Elections. Let's support them. Let's give them the resources they need and let every vote count.
Somebody wants to be a judge or participate and be helpful to the American process and has a little extra time and a mask. What do they do, Katie?
They can go to our website and sign up on our Baltimore County Elections website, or they can call 410-887-0982.
And they get you.
No. That's why I just stop and think of the number. I don't want to call. They'll get someone in our election work.
I'll give them Don's home number over in Catonsville. Katie, it's been great having you on. Thanks for being a great Baltimore Positive guest and appreciate the work you do.
Thank you.
Count them up straight. And don't let them go home at 2 o'clock 2 days after the election if these ballots aren't counted. I'll come out there and help you count them, all right? I'll bring coffee, all right?
All right.
Appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care.
Katie Brown for Baltimore County and the Board of Elections, and Don Moeller, of course, former Baltimore County executive. All of our WNST programming and Baltimore Positive programming brought to you by our friends at Taharq. I'm working the wake and bake here, the coffee ice cream with the fudge swirl and chunks of fudge brownies.
Ooh, yummy.
Perfect for breakfast.
At Taharq, Katie.
Yeah, send some my way. I need that.
Serving award-winning ice cream and social change. Our friends at Taharq for being a guest. You know what? If I brought it to you, it would melt on the way over, which is unfortunate. That's the excuse I'm using for my son. That's why
halfway.
He's not getting it. Our friends at State Fair, of course, over in Catonsville, you can go over there, get some chicken and waffles, and I did up the lamb chops. They were fantastic a couple weeks ago. Stop by, see Evan, El Guapo across the street. That's happening. Fadley's, mailing crab cakes all over the world. They ship them to you. They are delicious. You can also pick them up down at Lexington Market, and soon, next spring, open in Catonsville. Moeller and Gary Realty, closing deals from 6 feet away. Low interest rates, time to sell, time to buy. Find them at Moeller and Gary Realty. On behalf of former Baltimore County Executive Don Moeller and all of our friends in the county, we are Baltimore Positive. I'm Nestor. Find me, nasty@WNST.net. Calm, local, and always Baltimore Positive.